Blog Talk Radio.
Pulling it up, it all falls down. I'm telling you,
the truth.
I'm telling you,
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Doctrine of men. St. John chapter 8 verse 32 reads, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." St. John 1:4, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." "In whom is no guile." In this second episode of An Israelite Indeed, we are going to be examining some of the false burdens and doctrine of men that are put on the people of God, as well as men exercising themselves in great pride. So we welcome you, and Lord's will, today's class will be edifying.
Yeah, shalom, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of our show.
Mm-hmm.
And as you heard, this is part two of An Israelite Indeed. Last week, part one, we covered things that what an Israelite is. We went into some history showing you how the Most High established the relationship with the Israelites and as his people. And we also went into future prophecy showing you that the Israelites are indeed going to be ruling in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went into some scriptures to show you that not all Israel is of Israel. You know, being an Israelite is based upon you making that conversion from the old man to the new man, which is after the image of Christ. Mm-hmm. So that's also what it means to be born again. We went into that, and also what it means to be baptized and to be converted,
mm-hmm.
To become a new creature in Christ, to kill the old mindset that you had where you was lusting, and to be conformed in the spirit of your mind after Christ, by keeping the commandments of the Most High through the understanding of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
This episode, we're going to begin to cover some of the false doctrines and burdens of men that's put out there on a lot of these churches, whether Israelite churches or Christian churches. They're teaching things that are not scriptural, mm-hmm. about things that you have to do in order to be an Israelite. And when me and the brother decided to do a show on this topic, there was just so many things that we began to recognize that were being done, and brothers was being burdened with things that had nothing to do with scripture and wasn't commanded of Christ, mm-hmm. that we was like, man, we can't just do one part of this or two parts. We might have to do, Lord knows how many parts we might have to do, you know.
So many parts.
Yeah. We said we was going to cover the name issue, but I don't even know if we're going to get to that name thing today. Another false burden.
Yeah, we're not going to get there today.
But, you know, Lord's will, we will do an issue on that to enlighten brothers and sisters on that. And this thing, this topic we're going into is not to challenge anybody or to insult anybody. You know, it's not about insult or to downgrade anybody. Is that we have a responsibility as servants of Christ. When we see all these lies and falsehoods and false teaching, we have a responsibility to act. We have a responsibility to have care over the sheep. We can't just sit back and watch brothers and sisters that have sincerity in their hearts to serve our Lord and Savior Christ.
That's right.
Being given all these lies and being pushed upon them and all these false doctrines being pushed upon them,
mm-hmm.
and we just sit back twiddling our thumbs.
That's right.
It's not only things that we see in YouTube. You know, we see a lot of things in YouTube, and we hear a lot of things from brothers and sisters that was involved with these different congregations. and their complaints and cries. And we also have experience. Like, to give you a little brief, I see you got something already.
Right? No, but that's right. No, I'm right. Good.
To give you a little brief history, like me, myself, I came into the knowledge and understanding that I was an Israelite back in 93 from a brother that I knew in the Bronx as I was raised in New York. And when I first started going to the church, I stay in Connecticut now, and when the Most High first opened up my mind to the understanding that I was an Israelite, I started going to the church in One West in New York. And I also started reading the scripture for myself. I read the scriptures a few times, read the book from beginning to end a few times. I took the time to read it to see if everything I was being taught was accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And I did notice a lot of things that weren't scripture, but you know how you think as you mature,
mm-hmm,
and get understanding, you would understand why these things are going on, you know. And I remember I used to go to New York and I would visit this brother, and we'd go to the school. And brothers used to tell me, yo, you just missed a Connecticut camp. And every time I'll go, I'll ask him, yo, is Connecticut here? He was like, nah, you missed them. And then one day I went, and he said, I asked him, yo, is the brothers from Connecticut here? Because I didn't know who they were. I didn't really know that many brothers in there. And he was like, they're no longer part of this school. Mm-hmm. So a split had took place.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, it hurt. You know, you kind of discouraged because you come here to learn about Christ and the love and brotherhood, and the elders that's supposed to be teaching you, they can't agree together, and they split and go their own way and mm-hmm, take half of the church this way, half of the church that way. Some, mm-hmm, a lot of members just left.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yo, this is a puzzle. Why in this knowledge of Christ, where we were supposed to be learning charity and brotherhood, does a split like this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, later on, I begin to understand why something like that happened. You know, thank God I was able to stay in it. But to make a long story short, later on, you know, an individual told me what his school was in Connecticut. And I went to that school where, you know, you see the brothers now on YouTube, the brothers known as GMS.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, they weren't calling themselves GMS and Elder Tahar. And I started seeing things there as I started going there that I was like, yo, this ain't right. This ain't scripture. I started seeing men exercising authority on men not having mercy on men just kicking men out for the smallest things and, you know, not sparing the flock. And so I'm thinking, like, and also the throwing up curses on other brothers and throwing curses on brothers and things like that. So I'm looking at this and I'm like, yo, this can't be right.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, I stuck around because I, you know, I wanted to learn more, and maybe I was not understanding, and I needed to grow in understanding because these men knew more than I knew,
mm-hmm,
and maybe sometime in the future I would understand why they were doing this.
Exactly.
But now that I do know more, I know that what they were doing was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, you know, some brothers I was close with were kicked out, and then I ended up finally after, you know, the year 2000, somewhere around that time, I end up leaving them. And then we formed a group and started studying among ourselves. You know, you was with us back then, and we had a couple other younger brothers that was with us. And some of them left and went to the New York church also, the Israelite Church of God and Jesus Christ.
Israel United, man.
No.
That one? Oh, you mean the other one?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Some look out.
Oh, yeah.
They went to that church.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Where, my man, this dude is saying that he's the Holy Spirit. He's the Comforter.
Oh, the chief high priest.
Yeah. And that false that's also a false doctrine, which is very evident, very easy to prove.
Mm-hmm.
But the brothers went there, and then when they went with those dudes, they told them that they couldn't talk to us.
Yeah, exactly.
And what kind of crap is that? You can't talk to brothers that used to teach you?
Yeah.
And the reason why they left, because we did have men among us from the leaven that we learned from the old schools that were doing things that were against the scriptures.
That's right.
More evil things that were going on because of the leaven that came from One West, where men were allowed to go to
strip clubs
and things, mm-hmm, like that. And the brothers were seeing this, and they knew that this
smoking cigars and things of that nature.
They knew that these things weren't right, and they were trying to exercise the same authority that they learned from these other men. The, mm-hmm, same leaven was still there. So, you know, we had to clean ourselves of these wicked things. And then we started dealing with, we had some type of connection with Nathaniel and the Israelite United in Christ when, mm-hmm, when him and Barak Shah were still together. This is back before they even started wearing garments. You know, when we first started dealing with those brothers, they didn't even have garments, and we were studying with him.
Exactly.
And then we started seeing weakness there also.
Exactly.
By the elder Nathaniel.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we did learn some things from Nathaniel that we saw that we were not doing when we were dealing with Tahar and we're dealing with the New York church. It's like, for example, we noticed that we started learning about the Sabbath, because all along when I was dealing with these churches, that I never knew that when you deal with the Sabbath, you're not supposed to cook. You know, you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. You know, you're not supposed to buy and sell. And these things were not being taught. And even to this day, you'll hear different churches speak about having a cookout on the Sabbath. And when you read the scripture, you're not supposed to do that. And a lot of people do that because they claim that they use the mercy that Christ had in the New Testament, saying that they have that mercy. But when you exercise, when you examine those scriptures, we're going to do a show on that, because a lot of people don't understand the Sabbath, even in the Christian world. The understanding that Christ brought forth, they really don't understand it, because they take the Sabbath and the things that Christ say and don't even keep it no more, or feel they can keep it whenever they want to keep it. But when you examine the things, real quick, I want to bring this out real quick. When you examine the things that Christ was saying, like he used the example of David eating the shoe bread, that example didn't mean that anybody could go eat the shoe bread, but it was an example where there was a necessity. That's why the Most High had mercy on David, because he had a necessity. He wasn't doing it in wickedness. Or he used the example of your animal falling in a ditch. Wouldn't mm-hmm. you pull it out the ditch?
Mm-hmm.
Which is another example of a case of emergency, a situation arrived where you need to do something, you can do it. Like if your daughter was to be sick, or you had a child sick, couldn't you take them to the hospital on the Sabbath? Couldn't you buy medicine on the Sabbath if they needed it, if it was something necessary?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Christ was saying, that your law is over the Sabbath, that if you have a necessity and a need, you can do things, but you don't go right out and just totally disregard the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And if you have a job, you know, you need to feed your family, then there's grace. That's between you and the Lord. A man can't judge you on these things. And that's another thing men were doing, was judging men on how they exercise their grace with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of wickedness is going on that we're going to cover. You have anything you want to add in on this, brother?
Well, basically, you kind of really hit it. You hit the nail right on top of the head, that these men are more or less sitting in a seat. It's real dangerous what these men is doing out there. It's because they're sitting in a seat like they're Christ themselves. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like they have a patent on the scriptures. Like, they have a direct connect with the Most High. Like, they're the son of the Most High. Like, meaning they're Christ, the Savior. You know, you look at these titles, you know, like chief high priest.
Mm,
you know what I'm saying? The word chief is something that's the head of the body. And according to the scriptures, who's the head of the body?
Christ.
Christ. You know, like, you ought to be a damn shame of yourself to call yourself the head, the chief high priest. You know, the Most High sent his son, which is the high priest. Like, it's just so simple to explain these things, but a lot of people don't read for themselves and understand these scriptures and what they're saying,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it's very important to understand what part of an organization you down with, what part of a so-called gathering that you think is of Christ and who you listening from. Because the more and more you get indoctrinated by these devils, the more and more it's going to be hard for you to come up out of them. That's why it's important to pay attention to these scriptures that's about to come out. Because really, these scriptures are going to offend a lot of people today. And what we come out with today, which is of Christ, not of our own doctrine, but we're going to bring out the scriptures according as it is written. And then we're going to explain certain things so people can understand. And Lord's will, you can escape yourself, you know, without, I don't know, man, without really getting offended so severely by a lot of these so-called men in these seats. And that call themselves chief high priests and elders and generals and things of that nature. These so-called elders that are set up aren't really elders of Christ. They're elders of men.
Exactly. And as we said, it ain't to offend nobody or attack nobody, but these mm-hmm. things must be explained, because we have to defend the gospel.
Because mm-hmm.
a lot of brothers and sisters are going after these men and becoming twice the child of hell as they are.
Exactly.
Because they're learning from them. you know, and they're learning false ways and false doctrines from them. It's very important that we try to reach them that want to serve the Lord and show them that, yo, these dudes are doing you a great disservice, and they raven wolves is what they are. And another thing, you can't correct them. You can't go to these men and say, look, brother, the scriptures say this or say that. You know, should we be doing this? No, you can't go to them because they'll take your head off. And I know, I've been amongst them. They will not take correction. And there's a scripture about that, about a scorner. A scorner cannot be corrected.
Yeah.
You know, he cannot be corrected. And that's what you have in a lot of these churches. You can't tell them nothing. They can only tell you. And that's incorrect. We're supposed to be able to correct one another.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
That's part of growing in the faith. We each should be able to go to each other and correct each other. And that's something else that you have when you have these ranks. Members feel intimidated to go to another member and tell him he's doing something wrong. And that should not be the case in Christ. That definitely should not be the case. We're going to speak more on that. But let's open up with Lamentations real quick. Lamentations, the second chapter.
All right. All right, Lamentations chapter 2.
This scripture, we use this on the Christian world a lot, but it also applies with these Israelites. Lamentations 2 and 14.
Lamentations chapter 2, verse 14. Thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thy iniquity to turn away thy captivity, but have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment.
Yeah, this scripture is a very good scripture because it's telling you that your prophets, and when you read in the book of Corinthians, it tells you he that prophesies edified the church.
Mm-hmm.
And to edify the church is, it tells you right here in the scripture. It says it right here in the scripture. I'm going to read it for you. It says, thy prophet has seen vain and foolish things for thee and have not discovered thy iniquity to turn away thy captivity. That's edifying. To discover your iniquity, tell you the things you're doing wrong, and show you what to do right, show you repentance, show you how to serve the Most High,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, for example, like the thing about the Sabbath, a prophet's supposed to show you how to keep the Sabbath properly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's supposed to show you that. He's supposed to show you charity, how to love brothers, and that's something I didn't see in none of those groups I was in.
Mm-hmm.
True charity. When I came with the brothers here and the body of Christ church, that's when I began to learn and understand charity.
That's right.
But before that, I didn't know anything about charity. I seen things which I thought, I felt was wrong that were contrary to charity. And then now I know that I was right, that the things and the judgment they were doing were contrary to charity. True charity is correction.
That's right.
How are you going to have a man in your church that you cannot correct?
That's right.
So you can't show true charity.
Because, that's terrible.
Yeah, you're supposed to be able to show the brother mm-hmm. where he's going wrong and how to serve Christ in the proper way. It could be anybody. My little son could correct me. I could be going wrong and he could correct me.
That's right.
There's nobody that's too great for correction, man.
That's heavy because why is Matthew's chapter 18... chapter 18, verse 15, talk about that. If one offends you, you go talk to him alone.
Yeah.
Because that's in the spirit of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So if a man is not able to do that, then they're not in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of you people don't really understand the Bible. You don't read for yourself. So you let this man read for you and teach you a doctrine that he's pushing. And it has nothing to do with Christ. But he puts Christ's name up there, though.
Yeah.
You understand? And he even mentions his name. And then you got Hebrews, these so-called black Hebrew Israelites, that even might use the word Yahweh Shai or whatever. So to you, they beat because they in Hebrew and they know Hebrew. Or a form of Hebrew, what they think is the original pure language, which that's we'll talk about that later. Mm-hmm. But the whole point is that you think you beat because you're part of an organization that could break down some things that you never knew. You know what I'm saying? And then now come to find out the things that you're being taught aren't really in the scriptures.
Yeah.
You know, because you should be able to step to whoever is your elder or whoever is the chief high priest or whoever is your general.
Deacon or bishop, whatever.
Deacon, bishop, whatever, and be able to step to them because everyone makes mistakes. Everyone, you know, goes off. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to pull his coattail and correct him in the spirit of Christ, in the spirit of meekness. Mm-hmm. And that's how you're supposed to come. But if a man is not entreatable and he can't be corrected, that spirit is of who? Of Satan. Mm-hmm. But the scriptures tell you that in James. We can go to that in a minute. And it shows you that if you can't be entreated and be corrected, then you ain't in the spirit of Christ.
Yeah. A good example is that it's like, this ain't an Israelite group, but like, this is a Christian group. Mm-hmm. Like, you got Bishop Eddie Long.
Yeah, Eddie Long.
What he did, nobody was able to correct him, and he remained as the head of the church. You can't remain as the head of church.
Mm-hmm.
Going, doing things, those type of acts, fornication,
mm-hmm.
homosexuality, he was supposed to be put out of the church.
That's right.
The scriptures talk about it, about if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's mm-hmm. not talking about you sticking a knife in your personal eye. It's talking about the eye is somebody that's like a head that sees, that may see certain visions and prophecies and understand certain things for the church. If he's an offense and he's an important part of that body, then he has to go. He has to be put out.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be a head of a church and committing fornication.
You kidding me?
You know, that's a great sin for a man that's supposed to be leading the flock to be committing fornication. That's unheard of, man, in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be done. All right. So it says, I'm going to read that again.
What, Lamentations 2 and 14?
Yeah.
Thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thy iniquity to turn away thy captivity. But have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment.
Yeah, have seen for thee false burdens, being a lot of things they saying that you need to do. It's false, man. It's not according to scriptures. It's false burdens. We have so many examples, man. Like you got to call on the Most High's name in Hebrew. The Most High didn't command that. You don't have to do that. You don't even know Hebrew, bro.
Exactly.
You don't know the ancient tongue. Nope. You may know some writings, but you don't know the ancient pronunciation. If you have the correct ancient pronunciation.
You don't have the pronunciation, the pure pronunciation.
You may think you have it,
mm-hmm.
but I'm telling you now, you don't. And mm-hmm. that's not something where the Most High is going to cause you not to enter into the kingdom because of that.
Exactly.
And we're going to show you that. We're going to mm-hmm. do a part. You know, Lord,
whatever part we're going to on it, we don't know which part it is yet, but we're coming.
We're going to make it clear.
Yeah.
We're going to make it clear that that's a doctrine of men. It's a false burden. It's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
You got brothers talking about, you got to follow this particular man.
Oh, my goodness.
You got to follow this particular man or this particular group. They the only ones that got the truth.
Are you serious?
Even Elijah said in his time, as great and righteous Elijah was, he said that I am left alone and they seek my life. And the Most High said, I got 7,000 that
right.
you don't know of.
That's right.
That have not bowed their feet to the image of Baal.
Mm-hmm.
Even so, at this present hour, there's a number according to the election of grace. So you can't say that you're the only one and everybody got to come to you. You out of your mind? That's nothing but pride, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's nothing but pride. The Most High will show his wisdom and his understanding to who he chooses. No man can say that they're the only one and you have to come through them. And if you don't go through them, you're not in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
False burdens and causes of banishment. And there's so many things, man. The list goes on, man. You got to wear a particular garment. You got to wear garments and things of that nature.
Yeah.
That's not scripture.
It's not. But before you even go to that, let me just bring out the scripture real quick for what you just said. So we could reach you guys that, according to the scriptures that he just brought out about being down with a certain group, like you got to fall underneath General Yohanan. General Yohanan commands all Israelite camps to come underneath him, that he has a patent on the truth.
Hmm.
Then you got chief high priest, what's his name, Tazadakia, whatever.
Comforter, yeah.
Yeah, the comforter.
So-called comforter.
The so-called comforter, whatever. This dude.
Discomforter.
The discomforter, exactly. This dude is saying you got to go underneath him. And if you don't go underneath him, you're not in the truth. Then you got the so-called Elder Tahar of GMS. If you don't come from him, you ain't of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And then you got your this dude, this evil Nate the Snake dude from Israel United in Christ, right? Mm-hmm. So you got him, and the thing that he's pushing and things that he's doing, if you're part of his organization, and then you leave his organization or his group, he's going to say you foolish. Why? Because we not down with you?
Mm-hmm.
because you've been exposed and your nakedness been revealed that you was a wicked dude. Mm-hmm. So you got to be down with him in order to have the truth. You see, and you got to understand something. When you read these scriptures, that, matter of fact, let's go to it now. Mark chapter 9, and let's read verse 38. And you know what? We know you ain't of the truth, everyone we just named, all right? But let's say you was of the truth. Let's say you was. And now let's read this scripture. Mark chapter 9, verse 38. Read that.
All right. Mark 9, 38.
Mm-hmm.
And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us.
Yeah, so we saw someone casting out devils in your name, Christ. The disciples said, we seen this mm-hmm. with our own eyes. Read on.
And we forbid him because he followed not us.
So we was like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You got to be down with us. You're going to see. Read on.
But Jesus said, forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part.
So this is talking about someone that's actually in the truth, in the understanding, which we know you guys are not. But those that are out there, there's going to be other groups out there that's still in Christ that don't even know each other. There's going to be many groups that don't know each other, but yet they're still casting out devils in Christ's name, meaning they're teaching people how to repent. You understand? And they don't have to be part of your organization to do Christ's movement. You don't have a patent on this. You don't own this. This is God's heritage, not yours. But see, those pupils or that students that's in that organization got to see that. And that's why we're bringing this out today. We're bringing this out to save those that want to repent and to give knowledge to those that are not enlightened. You understand? You in darkness and you under the wrong so-called head of that church and you being taught wrong. So that's how come we're bringing this out to reach those that don't understand.
I got one too on that same note.
Uh-huh.
This is the 30 Epistle of John.
Uh-huh. But you want me to get it?
Yeah, for me, yeah.
Okay.
Start at verse 9. That's a heavy point you brought out. I got to add in on that because that's something we see a lot. His mm-hmm. brother's telling you, don't talk to this man because this man isn't following our group.
That's right.
You know, and that's what happened with the two young brothers that was among us.
That's right.
They went to on the Comfy and Them's group, mm-hmm. and they told them they could not talk to us no more. And we seen those brothers several times.
Several times, man.
And they wouldn't say nothing to us.
I even salute one of those brothers, and he didn't even salute me back.
Yeah.
And it pissed me off, too.
Me too.
You know, my flesh was reacting. Like, you know what I mean? I got offended by that. But what did I do? I humbled myself down and just kept it moving because you know what? You don't understand, bro.
Yeah.
You've been taught wrong.
That's the doctrine of men. That's foolishness. And we've mm-hmm. shown you that. Read verse 9 for me, 9 on down.
So the third epistle of John, verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not.
See, this man loved to have the preeminence among his church.
Uh-huh.
And that's what a lot of these dudes do. They want the preeminence. They want to be looked up to as someone great. When the scriptures say that Christ is the one that we're supposed to be lifting up.
Exactly.
All right, you know?
Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth. I'm praying about us having malicious words and not content therewith. Neither do he himself receive the brethren and forbiddeth them that would, and cast them out of the church.
See, neither do we receive brothers. Other brothers that say Christ, he don't want to receive them. And he forbid others to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were to receive another brother, they'll cast him out of the church. And that's probably what they threatened those brothers with. If they was to say mm-hmm. something to us or talk to us,
that's right.
They would kick us out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's so sad about that is that we always had an open ear to hear other men. You
don't want
to hear other brothers. If he would have came to us and if they knew some type of wisdom or understanding that this man was the comforter and they was able to show us in the scriptures with some type of wisdom and understanding, we would be obedient to it.
Yeah, we would listen and see where you're coming from.
Yeah. But you know what their problem was? They knew that their doctrine was false, and they knew if they went and they were speaking to other men would turn them away from their madness.
That's right.
That's what they were scared of. Because if you got the truth, why you fear? What you fearing of your men talking to other men?
That don't make no sense, man.
You're supposed to go to other men. We want members of our church to go to other men and speak to them and convert them into the truth of Christ, because it's our job to save your soul.
That's right.
If you're in some madness, I want to talk to you.
That's right.
Maybe I can reach you. Not the, oh, you're in another doctrine, you're in another group, I don't want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't talk to you because I'm going to be thrown out. That's mad. What scripture is that? That's madness, man.
Awful.
How you know the brother don't need your help? How you know he don't need to be rescued?
Mm-hmm.
So what was that last part you read, brother?
No, let's read verse 11. We got to finish it out.
Yeah, but read 10 again.
Oh, all right. All right, verse 10. This is the third epistle of John, and it reads, "Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth prating against us with malicious words."
Yeah, speaking against other brothers with evil words, throwing up curses on others on other groups. That's not with you. You're throwing up curses on them. All right, read on.
"And not content therewith, neither do he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil have not seen God."
So that's simple. If you're in a group that's doing something that's against God, against the scriptures, that's evil.
You got to run up out of there.
You're not supposed to follow that which is evil, what, to please men?
That's right. That's
if
right.
You see something evil going on, challenge it. If they're not trying to hear you, then leave them.
Mm-hmm.
Leave them. Don't go according to something that's against the scriptures, against God, because of men pleasing. You want to please some men.
And you want to lose your soul because you want to please this man.
Yeah, the hell with men.
The hell with that dude.
It's about pleasing Christ. He's the one that's supposed to be lifted up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the one lifted up like the serpent in the wilderness, because the serpent in the wilderness was lifted up to heal the people. That's what Christ is lifted up for, to heal us.
Yeah. Nathaniel, Nate the Snake ain't up there to heal you. General Yohanna ain't up there to heal you. So-called Elder Tahar ain't up there to heal you. You see what I'm saying? These people are not up there to heal you, man.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then you got this chief high priest call himself the Comforter. He ain't there to heal you. You understand? So you need to get to Christ, man, understand that he is here to heal you. He's the one that was sent and shed his blood, you understand, for you to have eternal life. These men didn't do that. And we don't put ourselves up like that. We don't even give ourselves titles. Let me pull out the scripture real quick.
Go to
Acts, right? Let's go to Acts. I want to pull this out real quick. Men is all puffed up. All right. Let's go to Acts. I don't know if I want chapter 4 or 5. Matter of fact, I might read both of them. I want to read both of them. But since I just said that, let's go to Acts chapter 5 and read verse 29, and then we'll go to Acts 4. I want to bring this out. A lot of you people have been bewitched, bamboozled, all right, by all these so-called men that call themselves leaders. They want to be the next Black Panther movement.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be the next big Malcolm X movement. You understand? They want to be the next Marcus Garvey. You know what I mean? They want to be these great men of the world of what men looked up to. They want to be this next big thing, big movement. But Christ is the movement. There is no man. We can't put ourselves in the seat of Christ and say it's our movement and then put Christ's name up there. It don't work like that, because Christ is the movement. You understand? He is the movement, and we're following him. All through the scriptures, Paul say, follow me as I follow who? As I follow Christ. If you're following a man that's not following Christ, what's going to happen to you? So you better pay attention. Go to Acts chapter 5, huh?
I was just going to say, they say Christ,
mm-hmm.
but they're not following Christ, because they don't even understand Christ.
That's right.
And that's why a lot of times when we listen to them, they rarely mention Christ. They're talking about Esau, and they're talking about history, they're talking about Hebrew, they're talking about this and that, but they're not really talking about the doctrine of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Acts chapter 5, read verse 29.
"Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men."
Check that out. Why are you obeying men, and you're not obeying God. The scriptures tell you how to obey God through Christ. You understand? We have to follow Christ because that's how the Most High God set it up, right? He shed his blood for us, all right? We have to follow Christ. We have to be Christ-like. You understand? So that's how come these things have to come out about what these so-called black Hebrew Israelites, this movement that they're pushing and what they're doing. Because they're not teaching repentance. They're actually teaching you to commit sin. You understand? You got going to strip clubs, you're committing a sin.
Mm-hmm.
If you have sex with a harlot or a whore, you're committing sin. Matter of fact, them GMS dudes that we were listening to last week, you showed me, mm-hmm. them little young GMS dudes that was coming out with porn and not watching porn and all that. Remember they was bringing all that out?
Yeah.
Remember the part where he came out and said something about he prayed to God for a woman. 3 days later, he got some chick or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
In so many words, and he got his stuff off. What's that all about?
That's fornication.
That's called fornication, brother.
But they don't understand that. I mean, that's far from their understanding.
Exactly.
See, it's so much that dudes don't really understand, man. If you're taking a woman and you lying with her, she's supposed to be your wife. So, because them dudes don't even teach their women.
Mm-hmm.
Which is straight up foolishness, because the same Paul, there's just so many scriptures they don't understand. And I'm going to be real quick and try to be quick and brief with one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the scripture where it talks about if she be pleased to dwell with you, you don't put her away. They interpret that meaning that you can deal with a woman that don't believe. If she wants to stay with you, you can deal with her. But the same Paul that wrote in 2 Corinthians that we're not supposed to be joint into anyone that's an idolater.
Exactly.
Or that is, what communion has Christ with Baal?
Exactly.
What communion has he that believe with an infidel?
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at that scripture in 1 Corinthians where it talks about be pleased to dwell with you, it means that she's going to follow. She's going to be obedient to the Most High in the scriptures. You're not supposed to be dwelling with a woman that's into idolatry.
Exactly.
You're supposed to teach your woman the scriptures. You're supposed to teach your children the scriptures. That's another thing they say, you don't have to teach your children. That's why these dudes, man. So when you're laying with a woman that doesn't believe, you're just having sex, you and then you go on and you go to another woman, that's called fornication, bro.
Adultery all over it.
You cannot sleep with a woman and leave her. Mm-hmm. You better make sure that she's into the Lord and she believes like you believe and y'all one in Christ.
That's right.
Then you can go ahead and lay with her. And they don't understand that. They straight up committing fornication. And a lot of these churches, man, that's why they're going into multiple wives. Then they try to go into Moses and scriptures they don't understand to twist and justify it when the understanding of Christ came out clearly through Paul that a bishop must be the husband of one wife.
And then a deacon supposed to be the husband of one wife.
And then they try to say, well, I'm not no bishop or deacon.
I'm a regular member.
Christ is a bishop or deacon, and you're supposed to follow his examples. You're supposed to be trying to be in the image of Christ.
That's right.
So if it's Christ is a bishop, you're supposed to strive for bishophood.
And the scriptures tell you that when Christ come back, we're going to be kings and priests.
Yeah, we're going to be a nation of kings and bishops.
That's right.
So you're talking about you ain't trying to be a bishop. Or you ain't trying to be a deacon. So you can be a fornicator and a whoremonger.
And justify it.
You guys are just
simple-minded, man. Real simple. And 1 Corinthians 7, that's what you don't understand. You need to really meditate on 1 Corinthians 7 and understand what Paul was really saying. He's talking about you being with a woman at that time with no understanding. And it just so happened that you awoken up out of that mindset of not knowing Christ. You just receive the understanding, and you're with this woman now.
That's a good point. And I'm glad you brought that out.
And she doesn't know yet. She doesn't understand, but you heard it first, and you start studying it, researching it, checking it out, and now you're feeling it. But the woman you with ain't on that level yet. But then you're introducing her to it, and you're showing her. And then now she's like, you know what, I'll try it out, I'll check it out, or whatever. And then she starts reading it, and you start showing her little things, and she starts changing. You start showing her the Sabbath. She no longer worships on Sunday with the Christian so-called idolatry. She no longer serves Christmas and Easter. Like, you understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of things that she's working on to understand Christ. She's not. She doesn't have that hatred. She's going to be submissive to her husband and humble herself down, you understand, and not be angry and give him that respect. not cursing them out. You know what I mean? And all that. So she's learning and repenting. She's not continuing in that and staying in that. That's not what the Most High God is saying. That's not what Paul was saying in that chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You need to take your time and pray to God and understand what that scripture is saying.
Yeah, because I know you said it, brother, but I want to make sure they understand it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to repeat what the brother said. The scripture is talking about somebody that just heard of Christ and he's married to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Or a woman just heard of Christ and married to a man.
Exactly.
Now that she found out that she was in error, she was in sin, she was in idolatry, she goes back and brings the information to her husband, or he goes and brings the information to his wife.
That's it.
The scripture is saying he don't have to leave them, but teach them. If they be pleased to dwell with you, mean they want to follow and learn.
That's right.
That's what it means, being pleased to dwell with. They want to follow and learn, and they grow with you in the knowledge of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't put them away. But if they don't want to follow and they leave, then they leave. You can let them go.
That's right.
That's what it's saying, that you're not in bondage in such a case. So it's talking about somebody that just learned. It's not talking about somebody that has knowledge of Christ. Go out there, find a woman that don't believe, marry them, and then try to teach them the scriptures. It's not saying that.
It's not saying that.
Because then that woman's going to end up leaving you, and you're going to be a fornicator. Because you shouldn't have went and married her. You shouldn't have went and laid down with her. You should have made sure, if you're in the faith, you're supposed to find a sister that's in the faith. That's why it tells you in that same scripture, if her husband died, she'd be married again only in the Lord.
That's right.
I mean, she's only supposed to marry somebody that's in the Lord. If he marries, he's supposed to marry somebody that's in the Lord. You're not supposed to marry somebody and say, well, you don't got to teach your wife nothing. Where do you get that from, man?
That's
why we're talking about, that's a doctrine of men, that's a false burden,
mm-hmm.
and that's a cause of banishment, because that right there is going to cause you to be banished from the Most High.
That's right.
And that's what these dudes are teaching. They're not teaching Christ.
Go to chapter 4.
You
want to
finish that?
No. That's all I really wanted anyway. You want to finish reading it? You want to finish reading it?
Well, we could read it, because it's talking about who we're supposed to be really listening to. It says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men.
Yeah.
Yeah. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hung on a tree. Him has he exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So he's the prince and the savior and the one we're supposed to be following. And he's the one that's going to heal us.
Yeah, I mean, that's still a good point while you read it, because the next verse, or the next verse I'm going to, Acts 4 and verse 12.
Mm-hmm. Acts 4 and 12.
And then we'll explain that, what he just read, and blend it in with this one. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Read that.
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, well, here goes the name.
Exactly. But the connection in this is that a lot of you people think salvation is through your so-called elder, your so-called chief high priest, your so-called, you know, general, your so-called whoever. You think your salvation is through Tahar and Nathaniel, Nate the Snake, and General Yohanan. This is who you think your salvation is going to come through. But they didn't die for you. You understand? Christ is our Savior. Christ is the one that shed his blood for us, and that's how we're forgiven for our sins. Not through this so-called leader that you call your leader. Salvation ain't coming through them. You understand? Salvation ain't coming through their oral law like the Pharisees. Because today, they're the modern-day Pharisees. Because they're really following the oral law, which comes from their own mind. And then they're giving it to you. It's no different than what the Pharisees did. No different than what the Sadducees are. The Sadducees did. It's no different. You see, they're coming with their oral traditions. They're making up their own traditions. The traditions of men. And then they're passing it on to you. Those that are unlearned. And then you pick up that. And the scriptures tell you that's called what again? It is called leaven. You understand? That's what the definition of leaven is. When you pick up doctrine of men, you understand? That's what leaven is. That's why Christ said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the scribes.
Yeah.
Because they're teaching you things that are not in the scriptures. And you wonder why you have all that leaven. You understand? So that's why you got to read these scriptures for yourself if you want to really have salvation. Because salvation is through who again? is through Christ. I want to pull out one more scripture, too, real quick.
Yeah, no problem.
And go to 1 Corinthians, since I said it, I just want to hit it. And it's real comical. It's real comical because you guys are real funny out there. All right? This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's read verse 12. It's a good connection.
1 Corinthians 1 and 12.
That's right.
Now, this I say, that every one of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I of Christ.
Yeah, because this is what's happening, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
You know, I, who you down with, I? Well, I'm down with General Johanna. Yo, who you down with, I? I'm down with Tahar, Elder Tahar, and the Elder.
Why, and all this other stuff.
What? Israel, you're not in Christ, yo. I'm down with Nathaniel, yo. You, like, what? What are you really saying? Because if somebody come across me and say, who you down with, what's our answer, brother?
You're down with Christ.
I'm down with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I'm down with. And why am I saying that? Read on. Read verse 13.
Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you?
Yo, was Nathaniel crucified for you? You better get what the heck I'm saying. Was Nate the snake crucified for you? Was Elder Tahar crucified for you? This is really ridiculous, man. General Yahan, was he crucified for you? These people were not crucified for you, man. You're not obligated. You were not bought with a price from these men. You were bought from the blood that shed from Christ. We owe him our lives. So we need to follow what he tells us to do, not what men tells us to do. So finish that out, verse 13.
Were you baptized in the name of Paul?
Were you baptized in the name of these men? Were their blood shed for you? Come on, man. Their blood wasn't shed for you. Christ's blood was shed for you. But this is why this is dangerous, what these men are doing. This is real dangerous.
Yeah.
See, these young minds don't really understand. You have a chance. But these men that are sitting up in this position, you're messing around with a dangerous thing, man. You understand? You need to repent. You need to repent. The scriptures tell you, Hebrews 5, which I hope we get a chance to go to, you so-called teachers, you need to be taught again. You don't know what the hell you're teaching. You don't have the Spirit of Christ on you, man. Bottom line. You want to add to that?
Yeah, the same thing in chapter 3. Mm-hmm. It brings out a point that I like to add into it.
No doubt.
Chapter 3, verse 4.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4, and it reads, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not cardinal?
Yeah, because that's cardinal, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cardinal thing you're saying. When you're saying, I'm of this group, I'm of that group, I follow this person, I follow that person, that's cardinal.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all supposed to be following our Lord and Savior Christ. All right? And that's in the scriptures. The scriptures is what we follow. We ain't following men.
That's right.
All right, we don't?
Verse 5.
Yeah.
For then is Paul, excuse me. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man?
So we don't keep going.
I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
See, that's what you got to understand, is that the reason why we in this knowledge, the reason why we understand who we are, the reason why we should be understanding the things that we need to do, but a lot of brothers are not understanding it because mm-hmm. they're following men.
That's right.
It's because the Most High God is the one that's calling us. He's the one that's opening up our minds to receive understanding. He's the one that's gathering the 12 tribes of Israel.
That's right.
He's gathering us. As it says in the scriptures, that we shall all be taught of the Lord. He's the one that's given us understanding. He's the one that got you standing in this gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Not men. Not men. So men can't pluck you out. Only the Most High can. If you dwelling in wickedness, he's going to pluck you out. If you following men into strip clubs and doing things that are contrary to the gospel, read the scriptures and stop being followers of men, because you are God's plan.
What was you going to say? I'll read that one more time, then we should take a break. I'll see what time it is.
All right, yeah, read
where we at?
Verse 7.
Mm-hmm. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase.
So it's telling you that these men are really nothing. We're nothing. We're just here to help guide you and direct you to God in Christ, but we're not nobody for you to be honoring or Ashiyad or Dawiyad or any other brother. We're just your brothers. We're your equal.
That's it, man.
You know what I'm saying? We're supposed to help guide you. You're supposed to come to, you see me doing something wrong, you're supposed to come to me and correct me. You know what I'm saying? I'm your equal. I'm not no general. I'm not no chief high priest, no soldier of 10,000 and all this crap.
Officer of what?
You know?
Nah, but one more thing I want to add to it. That's why it's comical, but it's sad, though, at the same time, because people, come on, man. You could really see this if you pay attention. You could really understand what's being said here, man. You know, these men is puffing themselves up and bringing themselves up to be someone that's somewhat, when the scriptures tell you, we're just nothing but a messenger. This certain individual God used to know this first, and he just gave it to other people after.
Mm-hmm.
We're no greater, or anyone else is no greater, then you're going to equal the same reward.
That's a good point. Like
it don't make no sense, man. It don't matter who learned it first. Because for crying out loud, I want to go to a scripture so bad right now, but we're going to take a break. But even Paul, we'll go to the scripture after. Even Paul himself said he was least of all the apostles, and he came after them. But look how powerful that brother was.
Yeah.
It don't matter when you come in, it's what Christ puts inside of you to do the work. You could become a greater man than the one that introduced you to this. So it doesn't matter. It does not matter. So people, it ain't about man and about, oh, I've been in the truth for 30 years now. I'm elder so and so. I'm chief so and so. Like, come on, man. You sound like a clown, man. You sound like a clown.
But you know what? We might not even do a break, man.
We'll just rock through, whatever.
Yeah, because
nothing but clowns.
Like the point you made about, you know, Christ gave a parable about laborers in the vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
And there was those that started first, and they said, yo, we've been here through the heat of the day. And those that came in at the last second got the same coin. And they were complaining. Christ said, why are you complaining for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, didn't I give you what I told you I was going to give you?
Exactly.
It doesn't matter if you came in first or last. That's why I said the same that he that was first shall be last in a lot of cases. So it doesn't matter how long you've been in. It matters whether you're doing the commandments of the Most High or not. That's what really matters. I want to pull out a scripture, too, about
the rank and all that.
The rank thing.
Yeah, let's attack that now.
I want to hit Matthew 20 real quick because this is something I want to just hit real. Mm-hmm. I want to speak a little on because when you check out the New Covenant, see, man, we're going to have to break down the New Covenant, man, in Christ, man, because these people, a lot of these dudes don't even understand, don't have a clue of the New Covenant.
They really don't.
They still locked in Moses.
But, uh-huh.
Yeah, we are the Israelites, and the New Covenant, the Old Covenant's for us, and the New Covenant's for us.
That's right.
In the New Covenant, you don't see nothing about the Most High says set up captains and soldiers and stuff like that. When Israel was coming out of Egypt, Moses' father and Lord gave him some advice because you got a whole nation of people. You got a whole nation of people coming out, and they had a military. They set up that order. But when you're looking at a church where you don't even have nowhere near that amount of people, and you setting dudes up as captains and officers, this is what you're doing.
Exactly.
If you ever work in a military type environment, like I was in the military, I understand how that worked. I used to work in Department of Corrections. I was a correction officer. I understand how that rank thing worked.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when an individual gets ranked that's among you, the relationship between you as friends, the friendship and the relationship changes, man. So when you have a brother that's looking at another brother that him and him, these two are tight, and this man gets a rank, now his head becomes all swole. The relationship, you just changed these people's relationship, man.
Mm-hmm.
You just changed the tightness that these brothers had in a lot of cases. And I'm not saying in all cases, but in a lot of cases, you changed that relationship.
Exactly.
And you changed the approachability of that man with that other man to tell him, look, brother, you're going off here and there. He may feel like, yo, this brother is over me. I don't have the right to bring a scripture to him.
Like, oh my goodness.
You can't do that because that's the whole thing that this gospel is based upon is correction, helping each other make it to the kingdom. We have to be able to correct one another. We have to be able to help iron sharpen iron. We have to be able to show each other if we offend one another. We have to be able to do that. That's why you see these schools breaking up into pieces, because they never learned to deal with charity.
That's right.
Properly.
Mm-hmm.
You got Matthew 25? I'm going to show you something about that
Matthew
race.
20.
Matthew, yes. Sorry.
Okay.
Matthew 20, start at verse 25.
Yeah.
Because he makes an important part about that rank thing.
Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them.
And that's what they do in these churches. I know, I've been there. Those that got the rank, they exercise authority.
Yes, they do.
You can't tell me they don't. I've mm-hmm. been there. I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, I hear stories about it.
Yeah.
You know, I hear stories about brothers that are in the churches and what's going on with these rank things.
That's right.
But Christ told us not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not supposed to be like that. Go ahead, read mm-hmm. on.
Verse 26. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister.
So, really, whoever's been there the longest or have the most time, he said great among you. He didn't say nothing about being a captain and stuff like that. But if you were to be a captain, let's say you would say, nah, we're going to have captains. And then you got regular members or whatever around you. Somebody got to run to the store, the captain, you run to the store.
That's right. But they're not going to let that happen.
That's what he said. Matter of fact, read the whole thing. Did you read down to 28?
No, we didn't read verse 27 yet.
Yeah, read 27.
And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant.
Whosoever be chief among you, let him be your servant. So you ain't supposed to be like, yo, we the officers here. You're a regular member, or I'm a captain of 10,000, you're a captain of 5,000. Hey, run and get me something from the store. Hey, give him a ride to go over here. No. Whoever's got the most rank, he's supposed to be the one to run to the store. He's supposed to be the one run to do this or run to do that. Because he's the greatest servant, man. He's supposed to be the greatest servant. That's what the scripture is saying. You can't be talking about you're the captain of this, go do that. You hypocrites, man.
Don't know the scriptures, man.
Verse
28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister.
Yeah, Christ came and he was our servant. He served us. Mm-hmm. That's what him watching the disciples speak was all about. Or part of what it was all about. I can't say that's what it was all about, but that was part of what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
He was showing them that he was the head, and he was the greatest servant among them.
Even when he laid down his life, he did that for us. He became a servant for us.
Exactly. He didn't die for his own sins. He died for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
So we supposed to be likewise, man. We supposed to be, those of us that's been around the longest, that know the most, is supposed to be doing the most for the younger members. Members that come in, we supposed to look out for them. You know, we're supposed to take care of them. We ain't supposed to try to use them as our own slaves and our own servants, run and do this for me, run and do that for me.
So even back when, remember when we was dealing with, when these brothers was with us, Gabari and Rashawan, or I forgot which brother it was, that Tahar and them, whoever, remember when they opened up a school and they had it in one of their names or something like that, remember?
I don't recall.
Yeah, anyway, I don't want to get the names all twisted, but there was something going on to where we heard it from two or three of them brothers that said that there was something in one of them brothers' name, and they had it in their name, and they didn't pay the bill.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
that's what I'm trying to say, that they put that on these brothers, these young brothers back then, had them put it in their name. To this day, I remember the brothers were saying before, we ain't dealt with them in a while, but the last time we dealt with them, that they still owe taxes on that, or they owe some kind of bill that was up there because it never was paid.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So these are the things that was done because other brothers were being used and abused and manipulated to the so-called elders' benefit. You know, and this is what a lot of these churches do out there.
There's so many stories, man.
Yeah.
These dudes abusing young men.
Mm-hmm.
Being abusive with that rank system.
But verse
many
28.
Stories.
Let me just finish out 28.
Okay.
Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many.
Yeah.
So right back to what we said, you know, Christ laid down his life for us. That's the greatest thing you could do on being a servant, when he's really the head of the church. He is the head. He is the chief. He is the high priest. He's the head of the body, and he died for us. Now, would you die for your so-called regular members? You guys too busy having them in the front line dying for you. That's how you would think. Because it's shown through you know what I mean, through your works. You brothers don't really get it. You don't understand. You know?
And the reason why he was rebuking them and saying that is because they were looking for authority.
Exactly.
You know, they wanted to be the next, after you, Christ, I want to be the next head man.
But it comes with great responsibility. That's what Christ was bringing.
Yeah.
It comes with great responsibility. A lot of patience. You know, it comes with great responsibility, man. You're not supposed to be manipulating the people and abusing the people. You know, it's just, some people should not. Just like when you have children, right? Some children, when they're born, it's sad to say, but this is true. They can't pick their parents. When the child is born, they can't help that their mother was a crackhead or their father abandoned them, or they don't even know if they're a bastard child. They don't know who their daddy is. They can't help that. They just came into that life like that. They can't help that. You know what I'm saying? That's a sad position to be in. You know what I mean? You can't help that you was born and I don't even know who my daddy is, my mama crackhead. It's just, the point I'm trying to make is that I done lost my damn point. doing so much talking. But the bottom line is that when you see these scriptures and everything that comes out, we have to understand that we have to follow the Most High God in spirit and in truth and don't follow men. That's just the bottom line, man. People are being manipulated in these churches, and it's because of lack of understanding, you know. And these so-called leaders in these churches ain't humbling themselves down and really caring and having the love for the congregation. That's what it really boils down to.
Yeah.
And Christ is just trying to teach that get the love of the congregation. You know, make sure you take care of the congregation. That's how come he told Peter, you love me more than these. You know what I mean? Because what? I want you to feed the flock of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you take the oversight, I want you to take care of the congregation. Take care of the flock of God because they're mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to understand how that you're over their soul to teach them how to save their life. So that means that's a father's role, brother. You're sitting in the seat of a father's position to take care of your children because you're sitting as a father in Christ. You know what I mean? You're sitting in that seat because there's men and women out there that need to be taught the gospel, and you're fathering them. You're guiding them.
Exactly.
And that's what Christ was trying to tell us.
There's a scripture in that too in Peter where he said, feed the church of God, not for filthy lucre.
Yeah, 1 Peter 5, verse.
You want to go there?
Yeah, I also have that down, but there was a couple of points. We could go there. You can go there now if you want. I'll read it. I'm going to start at verse 1 because there's a lot of points that I want to bring out.
You want me to read it then? You want me to read it? You hit it?
Go ahead. Yeah.
I'll read it.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, this is 1 Peter, the 5th chapter,
mm-hmm.
starting at the first verse. The elders which are among you, I exhort,
mm-hmm.
who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed.
So he's an elder, and right here he witnessed the sufferings of Christ. He was with Christ. He's seen what Christ endured as that servant mm-hmm. that we just finished talking about.
Exactly. All
right, read on.
Verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
Feed the flock of God, which is among you.
So when we feed the flock of God, that means we're supposed to be teaching them to repent. Because the scriptures say when Christ, Mark 1:14, where you told us that, matter of fact, let me just read it real quick before you continue, because I really want to read it. So you can understand what it means and what we're supposed to be really doing.
Mm-hmm.
Mark chapter 1, verse 14, it says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things that this is what he's really saying. He's telling us feed the flock of God, meaning what? Teach them repentance.
Yeah.
All right. Teach them how to repent and save their souls. Teach them that stop committing fornication. And you got these certain church, these elders in Israel teaching fornication. That doesn't make any sense. We're supposed to be feeding the flock of God to return and make that conversion into Christ. That's how you feed the flock of God.
Yeah. Because if you're not teaching them repentance, which is the doctrine of the kingdom of heaven, as the scripture says,
mm-hmm.
then how are they going to go to the kingdom? Just saying that you're an Israelite and you do camp 20 hours a day isn't going to get you in the kingdom.
Exactly.
You can be an Israelite and live at camp. That's not going to get you in the kingdom, man. You must repent. You must be converted from that evil man, that fornicator, that man that has anger and hatred in him, that man that's a thief, that man that's an idolater, that man that's a all the evil things the scriptures say you shouldn't be. You have to be converted from that type of person into a Christ-like person.
That's right.
You have to be. You have to repent.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to get you into the kingdom. And you have to teach your children. You got to teach your wife. You can't be married to a woman that's an idolater, because the scripture says the two shall be one flesh.
That's right.
Shall I join myself to someone that's an idolater?
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't. You can't do that. You better go back and start reading, man, and stop following these men, these false teachers.
And that's why Peter is bringing this out. 1 Peter 5, verse 1, where he talks about he himself, the elder which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. So he's kind of like giving more insight or bringing to their remembrance and their understanding, those elders that's out there, okay, we're supposed to be doing what? What are we supposed to be doing as an elder? Read verse 2 again.
Feed the flock of God which is among you.
So if you call yourself an elder, and we just read that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent ye and believe in the gospel, because that's what we're supposed to be teaching. Is that really what your elder is doing out there for you pupils and students out there that's in these congregations? Are you looking at your elder like they're really teaching me repentance? Are they feeding me that?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint.
Yeah, because that elder role, it shouldn't be by force.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's what that means. It shouldn't be by force being in that position, right? Read on.
But willingly.
Read.
Not for filthy lucre.
Which a lot of these people are doing, they're doing it for money. They sit in these seats so they can make money.
Yeah, become rich.
Exactly. That's why you see these so-called Creflo Dollars and TD Jakes. They call themselves so-called elders, too, because they sit in the seat of a bishop or a leader of a church. And when they sit in that position, they're doing it for the benefit of money. That's against the scriptures. So you know darn well they ain't of the truth.
Yeah.
It's evident. And you got some Israelite groups that do the same thing. They just sit in that seat because they want to make money. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Read on.
But of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage.
Because this is what we're talking about. You men out there in these so-called Black Hebrew Israelite movements, you just want to be a lord over God's heritage. It's not your heritage in the first place.
Yeah.
It's God's. This is God's church. This is God's body. This is Christ's body, man. And he's the head. So he's just telling you, feed my sheep, feed my flock. They're not your sheep. They are not your flock. You understand? So the whole thing is he just set individuals up to feed them the information that Christ was feeding the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he was teaching them. So if you're not in an organization like he just brought out about exercising that lordship, if you're in that kind of setting, you need to get out of there. Because this scripture is telling you right here, we're not supposed to be in that position as an elder so we can be lords over God's heritage.
Yeah. You're overstepping your bounds.
Right? Exactly.
You're overstepping your bounds. You don't have the right to be dictating lordship over the church, man.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about your captain in general and all that.
And the tail end says, but being an example to the flock.
Being an example.
And what kind of example are you really giving to people? Like, when people, check this out. When you want to have many wives, right, and you find a church that say you could have as many multiple wives as you want, that's the kind of church you're going to go to, brother.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a homosexual movement and there's a church set up, which there are churches, Christian churches, so-called Christian churches set up, that homosexuality is allowed, which we don't understand that because the Bible is against that. But there's people out there that's committing such acts, and a man marries a man. So what church you think he's going to be a part of? A church that accepts that.
Yeah.
You see, if you want to receive glory and glory of men, and you want to receive some form of rank, and you like the glory of that man and the things that he's all about because that's in you, that's the congregation you want to be a part of. You want to be a part of that system. You want to be a part of that glory that this man is receiving, so you want to be down with him. This is the point I'm trying to make, because it's the lust inside of you that's going to draw you to these places. But what I'm saying is, brother, that these men that are set up wouldn't be set up if it wasn't for the people and the lust that's in their mind to follow them. They wouldn't even be in that position.
Mm-hmm.
But why is it that we can't follow Christ and follow his movement and follow him and want to repent? Because you want to know why? There's something inside of you that don't want to stop committing fornication. There's something inside of you that don't want to stop serving Christmas. There's something inside of you that don't want to stop hating. Don't want to stop abusing your wife. Don't want to stop beating her up. There's something inside of you that hate the black woman. There's something inside of you that will always hate the black woman and won't understand. The scriptures say that what? That so-called black woman, according to the scriptures, is the mother of us all. You understand what I'm saying? That black woman fathered you. Gave birth to you.
You know what they say, too? They try to say, well, the black woman's a whore. But wait a minute. aren't you a whoremonger? You know, what's the difference? What makes you better?
Mm-hmm.
That's why it says when you're in Christ, a person that's in Christ is a new creature.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to repent and become a new creature. So she's no longer a whore. Once you teach her Christ and she repents, and you're no longer a whoremonger. But if you're not exercising the scriptures and you calling her a whore and you're going out and you're sleeping with the white woman, sleeping with that woman, you're a whoremonger. You know better.
No, you're not.
The word whore just comes from a fornicator, man. You're a fornicator. Someone that goes out and have unlawful sex. That's all it is. If somebody is a woman sleeps with another woman, yeah, she's a whore because she's having unlawful sex.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with a man. If a man is having sex with a woman that's not his wife and he's laying down with a different woman, he's a whoremonger, which is he's a fornicator. He has unlawful sex. He's not. Lawful sex is being in a marriage. That's what lawful sex is, being in a marriage. And if you're not doing that, then you're just as bad as her. What the hell are you doing talking about a black woman's a whore? What the hell are you?
Exactly. Let me bring this point out real quick, too. You bring this point out a lot. I'm going to read it real quick. St. John chapter 8. I'm just going to read it, and I'm just going to explain it. I'm going to read it real quick. St. John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came into him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought into him a woman taken in adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stomped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin he without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her.
Mm.
Okay?
That's the cut right there.
Exactly. But go ahead.
Yeah, because they couldn't cast a stone.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they were just as wicked. Hypocrites, man. That's what you dudes are that say that, man, is black woman's a whore. You're a hypocrite, bro.
Exactly. Exactly.
You can't cast a stone at her because you're just as bad, bro.
You're no different, bro.
And he said, when you read on, were you planning to read on?
Well, before I even go on, because I will read on, is the point that I also want to bring out that you always bring out, is that they never brought out about the man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How come they never brought the man up in the act of this adultery? Wasn't he supposed to be stoned to death also?
Exactly.
Because that's the spirit you have on you, the same spirit of the Pharisees. You're the modern-day Pharisees today. Why is it that you want to condemn this woman, but you can't condemn this man? Because what he did to you wasn't wrong, but what she did, she should be put to death.
Yeah.
You guys is wicked as hell, man. You pervert judgment, man. And that's what you men do out there, you so-called black Hebrew Israelites that think like this. But
they got this doctrine where where they go into the kingdom and the woman is going to be saved through them.
Terrible,
man. You know what I'm saying? Where the woman don't have to do nothing. She's going to be saved through them, which is a false doctrine because everybody has to be judged by their own works.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? That's why it says, how do you know, husband, that you shall save your wife? Or how do you know, wife, that you shall save your husband?
Because God's doing the calling.
God is doing the calling. Each one got to go in on their own. That's why now in the Apocrypha it talks about that only one man can enter at a time. Mm-hmm. You can't carry nobody with you.
Exactly. It doesn't work like that.
You're going to be judged for your work. She's going to be judged for her work.
That's right.
There's so many false doctrines, man, and lack of understanding, man.
Exactly.
You know?
Let me read verse 8 real quick. Chapter 8, St. John, chapter 8, verse 8. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst.
See, check that out. They all left beginning at the eldest, because the eldest, whoever has the most knowledge, is the worst one.
Exactly.
Because he should have known better.
Mm-hmm.
So the eldest left first because he was more guilty than all of them.
That's right.
And they all started leaving, being condemned of their conscience. Their conscience mean their minds knew that they weren't right, but yet they had the nerves, they had the galls to bring this woman up and talk about her. And that's what you guys do.
Exactly.
The black woman is a whore.
That's terrible, man.
You got the galls to talk about her when you laying around with white women.
It's just...
What? You laying around with all kinds of different women and you talking about her. And she's taking care of your kids and you're not even taking care of your own kids. She's the one that's taking care of the kids. She's the one, in all these black families, she's the one raising the kids.
Terrible.
And these damn boneheads are just rolling around the streets laying with all different women, having other kids with other women.
And you calling yourself...
Evil and wicked as can be.
And you call yourself an elder. An elder is... The word elder, when you look at it, is going into teaching, a teacher. You know what I'm saying? Someone that's teaching morals.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Which is going into the morals of the scriptures. You know, and you're supposed to be teaching your children this because they're going to grow up as men and women too. So you teach your child this information that we're learning in these scriptures in Christ, they're going to grow up, okay, in Christ and have that understanding already, mature enough, you know, way before yourself, because they're learning from the youth up, and that's the way it's supposed to be.
That's a commandment that you're supposed to teach your children. Mm-hmm. Raise them up in the nourishment and admonishment of the Lord, and provoke not them to wrath. And the way you provoke them to wrath is by not being a father to them.
Exactly.
You're not teaching them.
Exactly.
You know.
Let's finish this out because there's a couple minutes left.
This is very important because you know I want to say this also. This is very important because. You got to understand, man, the Most High is bringing back a nation. A nation isn't just men. A nation is men, women, and children.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's raising up, a nation. So anybody that's teaching the doctrine of the boys' club, you're foolish, man. You don't understand the scriptures, man. There's so much you don't understand. You way off, man.
Boys' club.
Go ahead, what you got?
Let me finish this up. St. John chapter 8, verse 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, this is important for you GMS clowns. Check this out. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thy accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Verse 11, she said, no, Lord, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
Amen.
So this so-called nigger woman mentality that y'all teach, that the black man, that this black woman, the nigger woman, she ain't no good, she nothing but a whore, a harlot. Listen, man, this woman right here got caught in the very act of a sin that was worthy of death, and Christ himself didn't condemn her. Who the hell are you to condemn her? You see what I'm saying? Because he taught her not to do this again. He told her, don't do this, don't repeat it again. Sin no more. And that's what you're supposed to be teaching. Not condemning her, but teaching her how to make that conversion over into Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. So verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Because a lot of our women do walk in darkness, okay, which is true, but so do a lot of our men.
Yeah.
You understand? And the whole point is that men supposed to be the example in their homes.
It's supposed to be the head.
The head of their homes to be that example. So we shouldn't be in darkness ourselves, because we have to teach them not to be in darkness. So we have to lead by example.
How are you going
to
learn if you don't teach them?
Exactly.
You're just going to say they're wicked. Or they're supposed to just wake up one day and have the knowledge of the Most High. And the reason why a lot of them are rebellious to you, because you're a poor example.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're rebellious to you. You want them to just follow you and be obedient while you go out and have 3-4 wives. It ain't going to work that way, bro.
Exactly. Exactly. Let me bring out this other point real quick. I know we're short for time, but this has to come out before we close out. I really want to bring this out about that ring thing, because it's all connected still to what we're talking about. Go to Wisdom of Solomon real quick. It's something that has to be addressed. Let's go to Wisdom of Solomon chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 8 and verse 9.
All right. Mm-hmm. Wisdom of Solomon chapter 4, verse 8.
Yeah.
For honorable age is not that which standeth in length of time.
Yo, I've been in the gospel. Yo, I've been in the truth for 30 years.
Mm.
I've been in the truth for 30 years. This dude right here, he only been in the truth for 4 years, 5 years. Who the hell is he to me? Is this how we supposed to be thinking?
Not at all.
Right, let's read it one more time.
For honorable age is not that which standeth in length of time.
You don't have honor just because you think you was in the truth for 30 years, which you wasn't in the truth, by the way. You was in the false.
You're still not in the truth.
And you're still not. But in your mind, you are. But let's say you are a man that's in this truth for 30 years. You don't have more honor. That doesn't mean you automatically have more honor than an individual that's been in the truth for 4 years. It does not mean that. Read on.
Nor that is measured by number of years.
Mm-hmm.
But wisdom is
But what?
But wisdom.
Which you have to understand. This is what he's saying before you continue. Now he's talking about wisdom. Read on.
Is the gray hair upon the gray hair unto men.
Because it's the wisdom. Because they use that analogy out in the street. They use that saying that you must have a lot of wisdom because you got gray hair.
Mm-hmm.
No, the true gray hair that God is speaking about is a spiritual gray hair. It's talking about what, again? It's talking about the wisdom is the gray hair unto men.
Yeah, wisdom, yep.
Read on.
And an unspotted life is old age.
Yeah, because you could be in this truth for 4 or 5 years, and you've been unspotted all those 4 or 5 years. You have that honor. And you are of that old age, because you're that so-called man or woman that is doing what? That has their senses exercised to discern both evil and good. You're that man or woman that belongs to that strong meat that the scriptures is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you can be, matter of fact, one more scripture.
Well, you get that, I want to say something too, because that unspotted means you're not someone that's causing offense. You're not someone that's doing evil to brothers. You're not someone out there fornicating.
Exactly.
So you've been in the truth 30 years, but
you haven't grown.
29 of those years you've been fornicating and doing things to offend brothers. So are you really of old age? No, you're not of old age, because you never really repented. You never really exercised, like the brother said, you never had your senses exercised to discern good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
How long did that take you?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be treating brothers right. You have to have the charity among brothers. You have to have the charity among sisters. You have to have a wife that you're treating, you know, like a wife, and children that you're raising mm-hmm. in the knowledge of the Most High. All these things they tell you in the scripture, tell you in the book of Timothy and things of that nature about the way a bishop and a deacon is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's a true elder. Exactly. True elder don't mean you was in the truth 20, 30 mm-hmm. years.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you was in the gospel that long, you and other, but yet you still doing wickedness.
Committing wicked acts.
Yeah, still committing wicked acts. That's not unspotted age. That's a spotted age.
You're still operating as a novice, as the scripture says.
Exactly.
Because you never really understood in the beginning. You need to be taught. Let's go to Ecclesiasticus chapter 25 in the Apocrypha. I just want to bring this connection out with it before we close out.
Okay. I did want to hit charity, but, you know, I guess we'll hit charity.
We're going to do several parts to this, really, and spin off of it. Because there's a lot that we didn't even touch.
Yeah.
You know, we just went with the flow and let the Most High do what he do. You know what I'm saying?
What scripture you want?
Ecclesiastes chapter 25. I'm not going to go to verse 1. I'm going to jump right to the point, verse 2. And we might end it with verse 1. But let's read verse 2 real quick.
Three sorts of men my soul hated, and I am greatly offended at their life.
So understand what's being said here. Three sorts of men my soul hated. He's going to break down the attributes of these three men that he hated. And I am greatly offended at their life. Not just offended, but greatly offended. Read.
A poor man that is proud. A rich man that is a liar.
Now I want this last part. Read on.
And an old adulterer that doted.
Yep. So just going right back to what we read a little while ago about fornication and things of that nature, you got these so-called elders that's been in this so-called truth for 20, 30 years, you know, what have you, and they're still an old adulterer. They're still doing the same acts. They haven't grown up out of that yet. You know what I'm saying? So these are the things that is hated in the spirit. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? You're not really understanding your role as an elder. Because it doesn't mean how many years claim you've been in this. You got individuals that take heed to understanding what adultery is and fornication is, and they're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that you so-called been in this so-called truth for I don't know how many years, and yet you still commit adultery and fornication?
And don't even know it.
That's the sad part.
That's the saddest part. They don't even understand what adultery and fornication is. Because they're telling their members that they can do it. They're telling their members they can deal with whores.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling their members they can have multiple wives. They're telling their members that to kick that woman out. You don't need to cheat her. Go get another woman.
Mm-hmm.
So they're telling them to be adulterers. That's the saddest part about it.
Yeah, they don't know no better because why? They was taught by a man. And then that man was taught by a man.
That knew no better.
Exactly. Exactly. But when you read the scriptures, you know better when you come in Christ. That's when you start knowing better. But it's no different than Paul when he was Saul. We're going to bring that out. We didn't get a chance to on this part, but we're definitely bringing that out on the next part, that when Saul was Saul, he was in a whole different understanding. He didn't understand Christ. He was in a totally different understanding. And he had to leave that understanding alone to know Christ. And this is what a lot of you dudes got to do. You got to leave that understanding alone that you've been taught and get to know Christ in spirit and in truth, because you've been taught by men. You have not been taught by Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So read Ecclesiastes 25:1 now so we can end it.
Yeah.
We'll just end it.
Okay.
Okay.
In three things I was beautified and stood up beautiful both before God and men. The unity of brethren, the love of neighbors, a man and a wife that agreed together.
See, this is a beautiful way of ending it because
yeah,
this is what we're supposed to be looking for, the beauty of what this movement is all about. This movement is about brotherly and sisterly love. This is about a unity of family, the body of Christ. It's a body. It's get the love of the congregation, as the scripture said. We're supposed to love each other as we love ourselves, meaning how we love Christ. We're supposed to love each other. We're supposed to see Christ in all of us. And if you don't see it in an individual, you teach them it so Christ could be in them and they could flourish. And that's the glory that we look for. Not the glory of ourselves, but the glory in Christ in that individual in the body of Christ that's coming out of them. That's the glory that we look forward to. Not our glory. Not the glory of man that we so deep and have all this knowledge and we understand scriptures or may know history and how to break it down and know of it. No, that's not the glory we look for. We look for the glory how this woman just repented and changed her life for being that fornicator and didn't understand she was in fornication and now has a husband and they're one and they agree together, and that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Because when it's talking about three things I was beautified, it's talking about wisdom, which is the word of God. So if you're dealing with the word of God, why is there all these breakups going on?
Exactly.
And why aren't you with your wife? Because it said
unity.
A wife and a man that agree together. So how you gonna? Where you get? You don't teach the woman from. You know what I'm saying? Because you're supposed to be agreeing together.
That's right.
So you know, Lord's will, we're gonna do. You know, we're definitely gonna put our minds to do more parts to show you that these doctrines that these men are teaching are false, contrary to scriptures, and we need to repent and follow Christ and not men.
And we give all praises to the Most High God and His Son Christ, and we say shalom.
Shalom.
If you would like to contact us or learn more about the Body of Christ Church, you may do so by calling, emailing, or by visiting our website. Our telephone number is 1-877-871-1712. Our email address is bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Ureach is the letter U, followed by the word reach. So that's bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Our website, thedocc.com, contains our telephone number and email address, as well as audio and video biblical lessons and other information geared toward edification in repentance and good works. Again, our website address is thedocc.com, so please feel free to connect with us today.